Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
It's that time of the week once more. Welcome to the GAA Hour here on Sports Joe. The turn of the small ball this week. Hallelujah, says you. Be sure to repost any of our content as it's so important to help us grow. And tell your friends about us as well. Dan Casey here with you, and I'm once again delighted to be joined here by Niall McIntyre. How are you, sir?
Very good, Dan.
Did you get up for much for the weekend?
Watching the hurling and a bit of training myself, so I'm ready to go for a hurling show here now this morning.
Training, hurling-wise or training in the gym? Looking training, hinged today.
A bit of both, Dan. Yeah, you have to. That's the way the modern game is now. It's not just not just hurling. You have to get the gym work done too. So,
Jeez,
yeah.
Those Offaly lads could learn a thing or two from you, I'd say. Jesus, absolute tiny. plenty to look forward to in our looking back over the weekend's GA action. But first, we're looking even further back and we're going rewinding the clock. A story from a few weeks ago. I don't know, Niall, did you see this, that there's plans for the GA to be brought in to the Olympics? Well, not plans for it. The GA are trying to get Gaelic Games in the Olympics. What's your opinion on this?
There's so many. We always talk about how there's so little room in the calendar for any sort of competition. And now we're going for the Olympics. It sounds like another headache. I don't think it's going to make it in time for Paris now, but... I think we might have something to offer if we had the setup in place.
It's a congested calendar, but it's once every 4 years, so I think they could make it work.
Yeah, we could squeeze it in. I'd say yeah, there'd be a few interesting events, I'd imagine.
I think there would. I think we should do as well. We should have a look at getting a full on GAA Olympics.
Yeah.
So you take what we have already, like do like a javelin throw with hurleys. We could do. A hammer throw, like with a big goalkeeper one, with a big Boston, and you know the way the lads be taking it around. Shot put with a slitter is another one we have. Hurdles, the juvenile GA goalposts, the tiny ones. You could get those for the 100-meter hurdles. You just have to jump over them.
Yeah, yeah.
Fencing, it's just two lads baiting onto each other with size 36s. rowing, you have the club chairman at the front of the boat roaring out the instructions. You just get the hurleys either side and you just start paddling like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sure, we're ready. Like, you could even throw in a long puck there. You know, that's it, mix it up. Tailor-made for it.
Boxing, we'll call down some of the Ulster footballers. and we could do the Winter Olympics as well. We could just go skiing down, going down slopes without...
with the hurleys.
That's it.
Jeez, man, we're ready to go.
No gold medals, just Liam McCarthy's around the next, I'd say.
Yeah, Paris 2024, maybe too soon, but...
What's it in 2028? Put you on the spot.
It's not Sydney, is it?
Look, I don't think it matters either here or there anyway, but we'll be ready for it.
We'll be ready to go, man. Yeah, we'll be ready.
Another story that broke during the week. A man in his 70s was arrested at a meeting of Gaelic Games referees in a Dublin hotel after a firearm was illegally brandished. Happened at a hotel in Malahide on Tuesday evening. Organised by the Gaelic Referees and Officials Association. Gardaí were called to the scene. What was your initial thoughts when you saw this one?
Well, your initial thoughts when you see something like that is you're surprised. But then again, these days, there's nothing surprise you with the way you could see any sort of headlines. But I'd like to know the context.
Well, like, do they have something against the referee or what? No, they're kind of keeping it quiet. Maybe they have to legally. I'm not too sure, but like...
Yeah.
Maybe there was a bad decision that went against them on an old accumulator or something at the weekend and he took it upon himself.
It's the last thing referees need. Anyway, they've enough lads given out to them. And
they've got a slating again this weekend, so we'll get into a bit more of that. Bit more of that later on. Well, on the back of the referendum on Friday, I asked Niall two topics that should be put to the GAA community to figure out, do they want to change it or not? Now, Niall, your first topic up for vote on the GAA referendum.
My first topic, Dan, I'm going to land you in now on this one. This is, should players be getting paid? And I have a very definite take on this.
Absolutely,
and I'm
they
not
should.
Sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, I'm saying absolutely they shouldn't. So this is we're a good matchup here.
How did you come to the conclusion that they should not be paid?
Well, I think there's obviously a lot of people who earn money out of the GAA, and you know, it's like, and that's probably. When people say that players should be paid, that's often the argument that they make. That, you know, there's people working in the GAA, they make money out of it. The coaches make money out of it. This, you know, all the stadiums, there's people working in county boards now, full-time CEOs, you'd see it in Dublin, Wexford, some counties. That's the way it's going. And that's the argument people say that everyone is getting paid. Why aren't the players? Yeah. That they're the most important? Well, I definitely don't think the players should be paid. I suppose, number one, you talk about tradition, and that's why people got into, it might seem like a kind of a romantic viewpoint, but people get into GAA they start playing GAA at the very start. They don't start to make money. They start because it's a hobby and it's a pastime.
That's how they start every sport, surely. Soccer or rugby, they all started as a pastime hobby. They're not, as an 8-year-old kid, you're really going thinking, oh yeah, I can't wait to make millions out of this. No, you're thinking, I don't know, I just want to play a sport I enjoy.
Yeah, well, they might see it down the line. Like a lot of young lads, I know when I was a young lad, I might have been thinking, I'm starting soccer here. You could see yourself as a professional the line. And that's your dream.
What
as
age
a young
are you
lad,
in?
As a young lad, a lot of people have these dreams.
I was playing for Man United when I was 8 or 9. But
exactly.
Like, not for the money of it, but for the glory and the, you know, the fans were on your name, etc.
The money
so
wasn't important for you, no?
I'm sure it would have been nice to have the hot girlfriend and the Ferrari name, but like,
yeah,
you know, I get over it too.
I think as well, though, if you were to bring in, well, first of all, it's just never going to happen because the GAA wouldn't be able to pay for it. Like, we seen during the, when COVID and there was no crowds going to games and the revenue stopped coming in, there was no games. The GAA was out of money straight away. There's already, last year there was 40 million spent on preparing inter-county teams. You know, so you're talking we're going to be able to pay players in future. There's not a chance.
Professionalism. It's just saying give them a 200, 250 quid a week.
But like are you going to be paying the number 30 on the panel the same as the best player in the team?
I suppose you kind of have to, and you have to pay like Minnow County, like you'd have to pay the Kilkenny hurlers probably the same as the Fermanagh hurlers, and that's just the way it would have to be initially anyway.
And then you have to pay because the integration is coming in now, you have to pay the ladies as well, and the money just isn't there. But on top of all this, I suppose, it's fairly clear to me that it's the money isn't there and that it's not a runner. But I think as well, when you're paid to do something, a bit of a resentment grows towards that thing. It's like it's your job. Like,
are the lads in sports show listening to this?
Do you know what I mean? I hope they're not.
You're doing this for free, yeah.
But like, people come to play GAA and you go to train because it's a choice, like, and that's what you want to do. And there's you could easily not do it, but there's already, I think it's something we should be proud of, that there's already an incentive there for players that.
What's the incentive?
There's
though,
a huge.
Really?
There's an incentive for
besides
every,
playing. I play county inside the nightclub.
Like, but what? everyone, most players. There's very few players that would turn down the chance to play for a county because they love it, and it's
absolutely
a huge honour.
But
honor.
They do
it's
it if they're
honor.
Getting paid or not.
They would what?
Just want to play for the county, regardless of they're getting paid or not.
Yeah, but isn't that a brilliant thing that they're not getting paid and
they
still
deserve
this,
it, like,
the demand is still there.
Like, there's going to be
but
so
they deserve it. They don't have to make the commitment.
There's a complete lack of enjoyment now for GAA. I'd imagine for a lot of players in intercounty, like, because they're never going to win in All-Ireland. They might not even ever win like a Joe McDonough or any
sure,
competition, and
they're
giving up their lives basically. No drinking, no enjoying themselves at weddings, whatever have you at that age.
If they weren't enjoying it though, they wouldn't do it. Like, that's just. Some people have that mindset that they don't want to drink at a wedding because they want to be in. But sure, Austin Gleeson is. Does like? Can you think of too many more examples? Like, there's not too many. You don't hear too many.
I think you do.
You don't, man.
Oh, I think you do. Lads playing junior A going on drinking bands, and we're talking intercounty here, but like, I think GAA's gone absolutely ridiculous. I think they need to be given some sort of incentive, financial incentive, for all the time they're giving up alone.
Yeah, well, like, the commitment is a lot, but my argument would be if players don't want to do it, they're free not to do it. And, like, most lads on intercounty panels, I would say if you were to ask intercounty players, do you not want to, like, are you training too much? They want to be the best athlete that they can be. They want to win. So that's the way it's gone now, that you have to train as much as they are training to be at that level. And I think a lot of them, while it can be hard for lads if they're away and they're travelling, and sometimes there's too, like, managers sometimes can maybe be too, that's a different argument, that they're too demanding at certain stages. But I think most players enjoy that high performance setup that they're in.
Like, I'd feel terrible for the likes of Patrick Horgan now, who's given up his life basically, I'm sure. And I'm sure he'd do it all over again. But if there's no financial reward, and if there's no ultimately All-Ireland reward, which he, I believe, deserves, like, I know,
but like, if he's getting paid, it's not going to give him an All-Ireland, like.
No, but I think at least there's something there when he looks back
but
in his career, at least
there.
Go, all right.
There's a lot there. There's like the honour, the love he had of playing for 15 years, the All-Stars he's won, all the records he has for top, like, an absolute legend who's admired by everyone, like, and, There's a lot in it for lads, the pride that they give to their parish and people that are like
and their
families and everyone. Like, there's a reason that these lads do it, and they love to do it. And I know there's so many lads would love to be on county panels, and it kind of annoys me, people saying that, how it's become unenjoyable and players are sick of it and so on. Like, I think most players. Anyone would bite your hand off, lads who are club players, they'd bite your hand off to be given that chance to be the best player that they could be, like.
Yeah, I disagree with you.
And I disagree with you. So we won't fall
out. We'll have to leave a go over to the GAA referendum.
We won't fall out over.
I think we will. Your other topic here.
My other topic mightn't be as controversial. It could easily be as controversial as well. Seeing how that other one went down. This one is that the underage age grades should be changed back to under 18 and under 21 instead of under 17 and under 20. So I think they should.
Why do you think this should be changed?
So under 21 and minor, tradition. I'm a traditionalist, number one.
I can tell that, all right.
But I would have. Since they've changed, it's about four or five years ago, I think the under 21 and the minor, or the under 20 and the under 17 championships, I don't think they have had the same spotlight that they had before. I think the players that you're getting out, and we'll start with under 21. Like, Tipperary, say, won the under 21 All-Ireland in 2010, a week after winning the All-Ireland final against Kilkenny, the All-Ireland senior final. And it was maybe five or six Tipperary lads who had played in the senior final. And these were the best players in Tipperary. Pádraic Maher, Brendan Maher, Noel McGrath, Bonner Maher. These lads were ready for senior hurling. I think under 21, playing under 21 had given them sort of a platform, like, where they're playing against players who you're a year older, year stronger. I think you're more ready for senior coming in off under 21. And I see some of the under 20s there now. And like you just mentioned there that the Offaly lads were a bit, small and didn't look as strong as the Cork lads. Like they're after getting to an under 20 All-Ireland final, a lot of them Offaly lads. And I just watched...
They got blown out of it in that game as well, to
be fair. They did. But they've been very successful, say. I think another year for them lads, where they're under 21, they've another year of... they had a great year last year. Another year of the strength and conditioning point. I think they're more ready for senior. I think the players are more recognised because we might see some of them playing senior. And I just think that, yeah, you've... players who are more ready to make the step up to senior after under 21.
Sports right, say some of the smaller counties who need the lads straight after under 20, would that affect them, do you think? There's a lot of, like, obviously we have the Corks and Kilkennys who probably won't need the lads, or maybe Cork do, but coming in after under 20.
Well, they can pay both, like.
Yeah.
I know that was the argument at the start, that there was the burnout and that these 21-year-olds had too much going on, but just hopefully, listen, it's always said, and it's something that annoys me, people saying that we can squeeze it into the calendar at some stage, but I just think it was better. I thought minor, like under 17 nowadays, like they're so young, like you're looking at these All-Ireland minor finals and lads you're nearly struggling to get into it because they're so young, and it just... Yeah, I just think it was better before.
Okay, well, you put your arguments across better than the government did for their
votes so.
Anyway.
I hope so.
Will you talk about some hurling?
We will, yeah. Please God, yeah.
The ref has thrown in the slitter and we're going to go to the big one now, Niall. The biggest hurling game of the weekend was, of course, London versus Tyrone. It finished London 18 points, Tyrone 11 points. Are you surprised by that one?
I'm surprised about something that's been classed as a big one, all right. But that's a good win for London.
Sure, they probably were expected to win, I would imagine. They're probably better hurlers than Tyrone.
Yeah.
We've no Lee here to defend Tyrone now.
But, no.
Actually, it looked great to give a mention to the two big hurling counties anyway to start it off. And to some of the minnows now, a little later on we'll be discussing Clare versus Kilkenny, Waterford Wexford and Dublin versus Galway. But before that, we had Limerick versus Tip in Super Value, Parky Creeve, on Saturday night. Niall, as a Tip man, how did you find this one?
Well, first of all, I had to notice on Saturday night, I'd stay off my phone when I'm watching a game and I'd come on Twitter maybe at halftime just to see what people were saying. And at halftime, everyone... It was all the talk that this was a terrible game and hurling is what's going wrong with hurling and it's not only hand passing and this has been a terrible... I couldn't have disagreed more. I didn't think it wasn't the best game ever, but like, did people not see the rain absolutely lashing out of the sky? Lads going around with, hurls slipping out of their hands with wet grips and so on. Like, I didn't think it was certainly not the first half. I thought it was fairly competitive. I thought Tip played well in that first half. There were Jason Ford's goal put them 3 points up. Mm-hmm. And
he's some player.
He had a very good game, yeah. And he's actually had the hamstring injury last year. I think he got it against Cork, actually. And, he's been kind of on and off, hadn't really played much in the league since, but this was his first, maybe he could have came on or started against Westmeath, but this was his first kind of big game in the league, and to come in and score 1-4 was brilliant. But I thought Tip were going well. They should have been up by more at halftime, and I think that was the problem. They're only up by a point and they should have been up by more.
Do you think Limerick are a real hoodoo team to everyone, you could say, but do you think they're a real hoodoo team to that Tip side?
Oh, they certainly are. Absolutely.
Tip will put it up to them and then that second half, Limerick will blitz them.
That's it. It's the second half hoodoo as for Tipperary. Like, I've seen the stats, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen the stats for the score difference between Tip and Limerick since John Kiely started as Limerick manager. So they've played 13 games. Mm-hmm. And in the first half, it's plus 26 for Tipperary. In the second half, it's minus 74.
Jesus, that's some turnaround
for Tipperary. Like, so it's just...
I suppose you'd find that with a lot of sides that Limerick play, though. You'd probably find that across the board, because Limerick, they're able to switch on the afterburners because their strength and conditioning is so amazing and their panel is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. It's probably exaggerated with Tip that they've had a few good, very good first halves. Like, we remember that Munster final down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Tip were 9 or 10 points up. Mm-hmm. And Henry Shefflin was saying that Limerick having a chance like at half time, and then Limerick come out and win by 5 or 6. They've done it to Tip a good few times, so it's probably exaggerated with Tip. Yeah, do you think it is the strength and condition? Like, I think Tip are a well-conditioned team. I think the likes of Cork, I think all them top teams are well-conditioned. But yeah, Limerick just, this is teams why, can't sustain against Limerick.
I think this is where the McManus money thing comes into the bit. Like, I mean, I imagine the Limerick staff in general have the best facilities, the best coaches, the best of everything. I mean, the coach, I can't remember her name, though, strength and conditioning coach who left last year.
The psychologist was Caroline Currit, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was a psychologist I'm thinking of. But strength and conditioning lads, like, they're absolutely...
Yeah, well, I think all the top counties, Dan, have brilliant resources and facilities. And I wouldn't say... like, it's down to the McManus money that way, in that Tipperary would have great facilities, the Dublin Hurlers would have great facilities, you know. I suppose maybe it could, if it could come down to the fact that Limerick have had brilliant underage setup for the last number of years, and that's probably, you know, they're coming in ready to go, and that could be maybe more of an argument that way. But you have to.
They're surely the biggest, like, physically
team in the country. I'd imagine so.
And it's surely that's no coincidence that they're winning all these All-Irelands.
No, probably not. And, like, that's a credit to them, to their lads. They're obviously breeding big lads as well. But, like, it's definitely not just the strength, because you look at, like...
But McManus is paying good sperm clinics down in Limerick.
maybe he's at that too. But, like, it's, say, take Keane Lynch there, like, his first game of the league, this league campaign, and he just head and shoulders above everyone on the pitch. The other night, slotted straight back in, bossing the thing at centre forward, socks pulled up.
Yeah, Boston in a hurling sense, not a fashion one.
I thought it looked well. In fairness, Keane Lynch, he's going around, he got his Man the Match award, and he's the earring still in the ear as he's playing a game of hurling.
Never go full TJ.
This man, Keane Lynch can get away with anything, man, when you're as good as he is.
Grey silver hair last year, Jesus. Yeah. That was rotten.
Well, listen, man, I don't really care. As I'd say, Limerick fans, if he's putting the ball over the bar, they don't care about that. He could do what he wants, I'd say.
Limerick fans
don't come out with pink hair, I'd say, and they wouldn't care.
The Limerick fans don't care about a lot of things. Bonner Maher's goal brings Tipperary back into it. Were you hopeful a bit then?
Was I hopeful? I was, I suppose, but Tip were, like, as I said to you earlier, I thought Tip were fairly impressive in the first half. They'd done some nice things, the building the ball well out of the back. Jason Ford was tapping over the scores. Garrod O'Connor was good. But in the second half, Tip were... And it's probably a worry for Tip, is that it was similar against Galway last year. They just seemed to be, whether it was a lack of movement in the forward line or the ball, we were just hitting ball into static forwards who were, Limerick were gobbling it up, basically. We weren't able to get our passing game together, so that there were kind of hopeful long balls that were going into the forward line, and Tip were completely out of the game. Limerick were miles on top in the second half. Tip just got the two goals from Jason Ford's first one was obviously very good work from him, but after that, the Tip's goals, the Jake Morris one was an individual mistake from Tom Morrissey, and the Bonner's one was uncharacteristically
Limerick.
Yeah, the Jake Morris one. Yeah, I suppose the game was probably over at that stage. Like, the whistle was blown straight away. Bonner's one, Colm Coughlin was caught there. Bonner, like, he's my club mate, so I've known from him chasing after me in drills, like, you don't have a second, you have to get the ball up as quick as possible if you're ever going to get away from him. He's probably the best tackler the Tipperary have had, I'd say. But I think what a lot of people might underestimate about Bonner is the unbelievable skills that he has. Like, I'd see him in training and he'd be hitting balls into the top corner, like for sport, like, and he'd be picking it into the top bins. The flicks that he pulls off is exceptional. And I think that goal just epitomised him, the skill with the flick, the skill with the finish, and then the brilliance of the whole thing. So that was brilliant. And Bonner is still going strong. He's probably one of the fittest lads you could ever come across, really, as well. So,
I forgot to mention the full-time score. Limit 26 points, Tipperary, 3 goals and 16. First round, this clash is going to first round of the Munster. Are you more confident or less confident now?
Absolutely, I'm less confident, yeah. I was fairly, coming into the game, I thought Tip would be hungrier. I thought, you know, they'd be hungry to lay down a marker, because, as we've said, they haven't gone well against Limerick. They beat them in 2019 in the round robin, but it was an immaterial game for Limerick. Tip won the All-Ireland that year. Limerick hammered Tip in the Munster final. So Tip have just been going really bad against Limerick, and you know, you think that they'd be very hungry to lay down a marker that, you know, they went well against them last year, mm-hmm. in the Munster Championship, drew with them, and you'd be hoping that they'd stay with them, but they weren't able. Limerick were obviously missing a few lads, like, you know, Seamus Flanagan.
He's on the bench, incredible. Adam English on the bench, Tom Morrissey, Barry Murphy,
Barry Nash, you know, they were missing. They definitely weren't at Kyle Hayes as well. They weren't at full strength, and they probably shouldn't have. Like, Tip had reason to be hungrier than Limerick, but Limerick were still able to blow them away. So it's definitely worrying for Tip, because, like,
is that Tip game on in the Gaelic grounds or Semple?
I'm not 100% sure, but like, Tip don't have a huge amount of lads, like, to come back. Like, yes, you've Noel McGrath. He could start. Cathal Barrett as well. Like, but you were probably hopeful as a Tip person that the young players that were playing the other night, like the likes of Conor Bow, Brian O'Mara came on, all these boys, that this will be the team that will, you know, put it up to Limerick. And they weren't able the other night. Listen, sometimes you can just have a bad day. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a good day from Tipperary, but you wouldn't have taken, if you were optimistic coming out of it, you wouldn't be as optimistic coming out of it.
So you think the scoreline reflected well on Tip?
Oh, definitely. Flatter Tip. And I seen Shane Dowling. Poor Shane Dowling he's like a lightning rod for abuse. Like, he gets a huge amount of abuse, I think, no matter what he says. And he said that Tipperary were miles off it. That was his line, that Limerick were miles better than him, and he was dead right. Mm-hmm. I thought he was 100% spot on. It was like, Tip got the late goal, and like Tip got Bonner's goal to kind of tighten up the game, but Limerick had the points, got back 2 or 3 points straight away. So Tip weren't, Limerick were, they were a lot better. They were 4 points up before that last goal, and 4 or 5 points was what I would say was the difference. So
okay, now to some actual All Ireland contenders. Offaly, Cork. Offaly 16 points, Cork 5.28. I was at this one in Tullamore, and my just general consensus was shite Offaly team, and made a poor Cork team look absolutely fucking exceptional on the scoreline. I know the ground conditions were poor, no ball going to hand. I was disappointed as a Cork fan after winning the game 5.28 to 16 points.
Those kind of hammerings are no good for anyone. Like the game was probably, I'd say the atmosphere was it.
Like, Offaly were clapping points, in fairness to them, at the end, but you're like, what good were they doing to anyone? They were just happy to get any scores, I'd say.
Yeah.
To be fair to them.
What is this?
The faithful county leaving fairly early as well, I will say that.
Were they? Yeah, I've seen that actually. But you wouldn't blame them, like,
no,
when it's
absolutely not.
25, 26 points, like.
Cork, yeah, worrying. I thought.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, why are Cork, that when they play the likes of an Offaly or a Westmeath, they're able to absolutely annihilate them, and they can turn on the style, and like, some of the goals they got, they're just unbelievable running through them. And then, and Offaly will be able to put it up to Wexford. Like, Offaly drew at Wexford, and they put it up to Kilkenny. They were 4 or 5 up in order to win at half time. But they can't put it up to Cork.
Is that because they know each other from Leinster? Maybe there's something in that.
I don't know. Is there something that Cork is there a confidence or something that they just think we're miles better than these? And they kind of turn on the style. And like, sure, the last 10 minutes they ran in two or three goals, and just like, it was like a training game.
No, it was incredible. Alan Connolly as well, great to see him back. He gets a hat trick in his first game back. Like that, he has to be putting up a hand for that, for a jersey, you know, in full forward. It's probably not going to happen because Hoggy's probably going to be there, you'd imagine. But to get into that, to get into that full forward line, I'd say with Jack O'Connor as well, he's a lad who had a great game for Cork too. And again, I keep saying the fastest player in the country. Wait till people see him. We have to see it live. He is incredible. He was off to a slow start in this league, but the way he's able to turn it on at times is just incredible. So I'm probably putting Jack kind of as a runner down the wing come championship time, and then maybe having Hoggy and Alan in together as the two full forwards rather than maybe they're just being one.
Yeah. Well, like Alan Connolly, he had a shoulder injury last year, then he had the hamstring, I think earlier this year. So he, I think when he first came onto the scene, I remember him with Blackrock, he was very skinny and he's obviously put on a lot of size, and we seen him in some league games last year, I think against Waterford, he banged in a few goals. He was at it again. He's a brilliant finisher.
Those first two goals he got, he had to work for them as well. Like, I mean, he was pulling drags everywhere and on the ground. And
he did
incredibly well now.
He's a brilliant target man, and they've a lot of numbers in attack. Like, they've a lot of options.
A lot more options in attack than the backs, unfortunately. Yeah. I think we'd have a really good shot at the All-Ireland if we had a strong back line.
So what is your starting forward line now? You're probably going to go, will you have Kingston in there? You'll have...
I think Kingston works as a super sub. I think it was proved in the Munster against Limerick last year.
Okay, so...
The man, just for whatever reason, he's incredible as a sub. Yeah. When he's brought on against Tip, he was amazing. But I think starting... He's hit or miss for me anyway.
Yeah, he's hit or miss, isn't he? I wouldn't write him off, and you could start maybe in some games, but yeah. Are you starting Darragh Fitzgibbon midfield or centre forward?
I'd say midfield. Let everything go through him in midfield. I'd say we need a help out at the back line as well.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I mean, even though he scored like a first touch of the ball, he gets an amazing point. And then later on, he gets a goal in his first game back as well.
Yeah.
And he was delighted with himself. You could see in the smile on his face after.
You could,
like, I am back. That was great to see. Dickie Dalton was another man who came back as well.
Yeah, he had some injury.
Not as impressed with him as the other boys now.
Mm. In fairness, I think it was his first game back,
It was for the other boys too. No, he did, I think, get 7 points in total, but six were place balls.
He has something to offer Cork, though, doesn't he? In that, you know, we talked about the lads with the speed. He has the strength. Yes. He's a good ball winner too.
He's different in that regard, right? And Pat Rinser, he's obviously having a look at everyone. That would be an angle Cork need to look at.
Yeah.
I suppose hard to look at that angle after he just blew away off you physically.
You can't read too much,
It does off. What I'd be saying to off you lads, just they need all the strength and condition they can get over the next 2-3 years. Like, they badly needed. And I was speaking to the Offaly fans after, they had a lot of, they were saying they had a lot of young lads out, and it was from the under-20s they were taken. I guess that's what the All-Ireland success, or nearly All-Ireland success, brought. That Screeny, this whole Screeny thing, I thought he was very quiet, to be honest.
In fairness, when you're against a team who are getting completely hammered, it's hard as a corner forward.
The Offaly goalkeeper, it probably should have been 7 or 8 goals as well. There was one of the Offaly goalkeepers got injured midway through. He made 2 amazing saves in that half. Alan Connolly should have had a 4th goal, really. So then the second one was brought on. They made 2 or 3 amazing saves between them, and it would have been a lot more on the scoreboard if they hadn't won that. So they deserve a shout out there as well.
I heard an interview with Robbie with Connolly. He was saying that O'Flynn will be back soon. So that's another boost in attack. Shane Barrett went pretty well at times.
Yeah, he impressed me the other few games. Not amazing yesterday.
Okay. Brian Hayes, another lad.
He came in, got a goal. Looked
good. It's going to be a tough forward line to pick.
Very hard. I think, for me, it is Jack O'Connor, absolute pace.
Are you having Lahan?
I'm having Lahan in, obviously.
And Harnedy?
I probably am,
That's
3 older lads with Poggy in there as well. You're really relying on. But they're tried and tested, and they are so good. And they're doing it time and time again, and they haven't really failed us, those 3 either.
Mm.
Lahan can be one of the best hurlers in the country on his day.
Bit Kingston spec as well, that he can be hit and miss.
Yes, I agree with you there, but less so. I think you know what you're getting a bit more.
Yeah, I think I prefer Kingston. I definitely have Harnady in there because he's been, in fairness, he's been very good. Probably Cork's best forward.
Probably the one I'm dropping.
Really?
Yeah. I have to get my Hoggy in there. Like, there's no way I can't leave him out. There was a call for the Cork support to put Rob Downey. I mean, I don't know what height the man is, but
in the forwards,
put him in the forwards. We need a tall lad, they were saying, in there.
What?
Because he's 6'3 or 4, and they had the Offaly midfielder now. His name escapes me. He must be about 5'5, 5'6, and it just like, that was a bad move by Offaly. I don't know, was it Cork making Rob pick him up, or was it the Offaly lads making him pick Rob up? But it was just a total mismatch.
Yeah,
the Offaly keepers as well. I don't know, was it them? But it just seemed where the Offaly lads were congregating. They kept hitting the same ball down to the half hour line every single time. The right hand side of the keeper. I don't know what they were doing, keeping persistent with it.
Yeah, we're forgetting Sean Toomey as well. He'd be another option. He was very good, wasn't he, against Kilkenny that day?
He was.
He's kind of a ball winner, similar to Dalton. So the options are just.
Wish we had him at the back line is all I would say.
Yeah, Coleman, he broke his jaw. Did you hear anything about him, or what is the...
It's not as bad as first feared anyway, as far as I know.
So could be back.
There's a bit of talk, he'll be back for championship. Could be. I hope he will.
He's had it nasty with the knee last year, the jaw. Was it a broken jaw, or did they say, or just maybe not
as
bad?
It was a fracture, I'm not too sure. Okay. If he's coming back anyway for a month's championship, it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, because you could do it with him, definitely. Like, he was so good when he came back that day. Only off the bench against Kilkenny, but...
Maybe just stick Hoggy in the backs. He can win his own ball and get a few frees out the other way.
You need to clone Hoggy.
I was at the game, as already mentioned, and I met up with some Offaly and Cork fans, both before and after the match. And here's what they had to say about the much-lauded Adam Screeny.
Where does Adam Screeny rank in terms of top hurlers in the country?
Still has a fair way to go, but best young prospect.
Do you think Adam Screeny could get there eventually, be top hurler in the country?
I'll back him, yeah.
How good do you think Adam Screeny will be?
I saw him last year in the All-Ireland final. I actually couldn't go to the game. My fiancé was running the Cork City Marathon the same day, but I went into a pub and I watched it. And I was on to him, actually. I started chatting to him.
He's very, very good. She's flat out and you're inside drinking Kenzie Murphy's.
Well, I don't drink myself now, but my drinking influence is definitely Jay and matches. But about Adam Screeny, I actually got into him. Claushenev Cormac, who he won in All-Ireland under-19C and in All-Ireland under-19B. And then as well as that, they won the Corny duel with Offaly Colleges. That's very impressive underage pedigree hurling. And I was even on to Michael Dignan, who I've said, do you know, Cork in particular, we had to lose an under-17 minor. So Offaly are definitely going the right direction. Adam Screeny just finished off. What a talent. What a talent.
We saw him out there today, Adam Screeny. What do you make of him?
I love to see him. Well, I don't think he's up to the standard of hurling. Maybe the drier pitch might suit him. He's a fine hurler, God bless him. He's a fine hurler, but... He's playing against men now this year, like.
Yeah. And it was men versus boys out there today.
Yeah, definitely. But Cork are way after pace as well, like.
That scoreline really wasn't a good reflection on how actually poor we were.
Well, it was in the pub before the game now, which is unlike me, like. But someone asked me what would Cork score, and I said 5.20. I'd be expecting Cork to send a message out that we're there. They got 5.20. They got 5.27, was it? 5.28 actually. So, Offaly, I loved Offaly at old, and I loved to see him come back. They played the hurling like Cork did long ago, direct, very hard hurling. Just not there with them now. No. Didn't win against boys there today.
Just need to get on to a good strength and conditioning coach.
Unfortunately, that's where the game has gone. I coach myself, and I think my personal opinion, the game is coached out of the players now. It's a system. It's gone down the Gaelic football route as well now. It's a robotic game. Sadly, I think this is my last year buying a season ticket, by the way.
Why, it's not the value for money anymore?
No, and the fact that we're getting sick after every game in February with the cold. I mean, I'm going on 69, like. And Rancrow Park, it's crazy. Them lads haven't got a chance. They're courting. I know Sean O'Donnell,
he's in a scary man.
And Sean is, he's no time. When he's finishing the county, he's straight into the club. there's no such thing as a break for these lads.
What do you make of Adam Screeny? There's a lot of talk about him.
I thought that he was taken off today, you know, but I think he's a great hurler, great prospect, but like the rest of the Offaly, and the Offaly team, they're very young and very light, you know what I mean, I think.
How many years do you think it'll be for Offaly can contend or win in All-Ireland?
Well, they're a long way off it. I couldn't put a year, but it won't be in the next 5 years anyway.
Jeez, won't be the next 50, I'd say.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Thanks, Emil. Appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone who spoke to me. Niall, anything you wanted to pick up on from those conversations?
I thought that was a very good chat you had with the 69-year-old fella. He's right about the weather anyway. I'm even struggling as a young man out in the cold.
I can hear you there anyway.
the last month, I think, has been the worst you can imagine. But good stuff. Was
not renewing his season ticket. Doesn't see the value for money in it either.
Yeah, he kind of seems to be getting a bit sick of the style of hurling.
Do you agree with that? I'm the football route.
I don't really. I think it's as skillful as it's ever been. There is probably some passages of play that aren't as, you know, enjoyable as when it was all like lobbed down and it was all competition fighting for every single ball. But it's still, I still enjoy watching. There's certain things I don't like when it's overdone, the short passing. Like, I think Cork, no offence, I think they can overdo the short passing, and I find some of their games hard to watch, but I enjoy it for the most part. Like, you're always going to have a few bad games.
Cork, maybe an exception, a few bad games at times, it feels like. It is now time for Take Your Point, where we go through one bad point of the weekend's action and one good point, and it is not just limited to action on the pitch. Anything goes. And Niall, we'll start on a positive note. Your good point first.
Young Keane Burns' interview and his performance for Wexford.
The performance, he was absolutely delighted with himself over.
He was delighted. It was a 223-123 win for Wexford. And Keane Byrne, he was the star of the show. Young man, he's only up out of under 20. I think he's around 20 years of age himself, and you know it's his first year on the Wexford senior team, and he got that. He scrambled in a goal when they drew against Kilkenny. He got a few points against Offaly the evening in the rain in Wexford Park. He don't think he started the last, but he started this day, maybe because they were missing Lee Chin and Jack O'Connor and a few others. But he absolutely took his chance. 5 brilliant points from play. He has unbelievable, brilliant pace, and apparently he's unbelievable confidence as well. And
going off of that one, he certainly did anyway.
Yeah, you could see it in his post-match interview. Like he said, you know, that he wants to hold on to this jersey, and it was just an enjoyable interview. A young lad who's clearly loving what he's doing.
Yeah, the GA needs a few more people like that. In
absolutely,
fairness.
A lad who's loving a bit of confidence about him, and the way he played yesterday, he said he doesn't want to give that jersey away easy, and he won't be giving it away. Nobody will be taking it off him easy, because he has something to offer there for Wexford.
But I mean, the job roster is done in such a short space of time with Wexford. Like, they looked like they're going to get relegated last year, and now for the turnaround, and they've done absolutely incredible.
Absolutely, sure. They were nearly down in Joe McDonagh, only for some heroics from Lee Chin against Kilkenny, when nobody expected him to win. And Raster, he was the under-20 manager, and he's after bringing in loads. Like, Wexford's injury list and the players they're missing at the moment
They're like a bad boxer. They have no chin.
That's it. That's the truth. They have no chin, like a bad boxer. They have no Jack O'Connor yesterday. Rory O'Connor. That's Conor McDonald. That's probably 4 starting forwards right there. Liam Ryan is one of the best fullbacks around. Liam O'McGovern, Dermot O'Keefe, Oisin Foley, Conall Flood. That's about 9 players there who would be considered like lads who could start come championship. The young lads he's brought in. We talked about Keane Byrne. We've talked about a few other lads here before. Yesterday you had Niall Murphy, very good cornerback. Conor Foley, very good fullback. Owen Ryan, Corey Byrne, Dunbar, come on and got a point. he's brought them in, he's given them a chance. James Byrne came in as well, and they're making a difference. They haven't lost one game this year. I know they've had three draws, but I'm loving Roster as well. Did you see his interview after?
I didn't, I'll be totally honest. I didn't. Yeah. Do tell me about it.
Well, it was just, he's very, you know, sometimes when a manager just has the bit of an X factor about them, and they have the kind of, I remember when Thomas Tuchel came in as Chelsea manager.
Yeah.
And as I'm a Chelsea fan, like, he just had that bit of a glint in his eye and a bit of enthusiasm, and you'd be inspired by watching his interview. And that's what I'm getting off Keith Roster now. He's clearly enjoying what he's doing. It was funny, at the end of the interview, Micheál O'Donnell said, you know, you're unbeaten in intercounty hurling as manager, Keith, because they won the Welsh Cup and three draws and a win in the league. And it's an easy game. That's what Micheál O'Donnell says to Keith Roster. And Keith Roster says, I may meet you more often, Micheál, because he's obviously, some lads be giving out about him. But I think he's been exceptional. He's backing all them young players. He says, back Seamus Casey. He says, people are saying we don't have a free taker. We have plenty of free takers, he says. I don't know if he's right about that. But
they'll find out about it against Cork next week, I'm telling you now.
It's early doors. You can't get carried away with too many teams, but I'm just enjoying what he's doing with Wexford so far. So they're my good note.
Well, we're going to go to it later, buddy. Might as well get it done now, as you kind of talked about half the game, or some of it anyway. This leads into your bad point anyway. What was your bad point?
Well, I suppose it's just Waterford's league campaign. They probably wouldn't have been expected to go down. They're going down now. They're relegated before the last game. They've had a very poor, to beat Offaly, and now they've lost three games in a row in the league. This one was in Walsh Park, and I suppose, look, they had a very good first half, and Jamie Barron was on fire, and Caelum Lyons was on fire. Michael Kiley was actually going well. I think that was the turning point in the game, when Caelum Lyons and Michael Kiley and two other lads went in for a high ball, and they cleaned each other out of it, and Kiley had to go off concussed, and Caelum Lyons, from there, he couldn't hit a wide ball beforehand, and then everything he hit went wide. So he'll blame that. We'll blame him. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was the bang in the head. But from there, Waterford were just, they completely lost, as Davey said in his interview, they lost their shape. He said they were atrocious, and he was dead right. They were atrocious in the second half.
What do you think it is, Waterford? Do you think it's Davey? I seen an RTE article, I think a few months ago now. One of the backroom staff, I don't know which one, spoke out and just said they needed to do a lot together as a group. It sounded like it was coming from the players, that they weren't getting on, rather than anything to do with Davey. They were going, I think they went on some bonding trip and things like that.
Gee. Right. Well, I wouldn't have, that'd be the first I've heard of that. I think Waterford, with Davey, you're wondering, is he keeping a rabbit up his hat for a championship? And
I don't think he is.
You don't think so? Like, Waterford fans will have to.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hope so. And look, they'll be worried at the minute that things aren't going well, because some of the things you're seeing, like yesterday, just for example, Simon Donoghue got a score where the ball was just played out to him, and he was able to stroll, staunter up the field for about 10, 15 yards. Nobody comes near him and he taps it over the back. Niall Murphy, cornerback for Wexford, had all day on the ball to do what they wanted. Waterford were sort of crowding out the middle. Even the last, they showed it on the Sunday game. Did you see that? The very last ball. And Waterford are chasing a score here. And Wexford, there's nobody inside putting the Wexford lads under pressure.
Yeah.
And you're just like, They seem to have this tactic that everyone's out around the middle, that maybe it's to stop Limerick, that's it's all maybe geared towards Limerick breaking them, you know, catching them in the middle, but they're leaving space inside.
You wouldn't be, if you're Watford, you're not aiming for Limerick, you're aiming for Cork in the first day of the Munster, surely.
Well, definitely at this stage, yeah. Like under Liam Cahill, they were absolutely flying, and that was...
They were pox to get their goal as well, just a bit of a mix up at the back from Wexford, Patrick.
Absolutely,
Faith.
And the game was over at that stage, before that goal, and they still weren't able to take it. So,
shout out to Sean Hearn, straight down the middle for the Wexford goal. Shane Reck, he did absolute wreck during the game as well, to be fair to him. I thought interesting point was, Davy Fitzgerald's on about fitness after the game. There's not long left till championship, 4 to 5 weeks there. Like, surely the fitness has to be up to scratch at this stage.
Well, sure, that's Davy has always had teams fit, and that was the thing about Davy, that they were always fit. I wonder, is he talking about maybe certain injuries or so on? But
match sharpness, fair enough. But fitness, I think, is something else altogether that I think they surely have to have nailed down at this stage of the year. Match sharpness, all right, lads might be getting the first game back.
Yeah, and getting used to the tactics and so on. But I wouldn't say it's fitness. I'd say just knowing what they're doing. It just seems to be kind of overcomplicated a small, but they're just not hurling as you would like to see. And Waterford have always been that kind of whirlwind of a county, free spirits, hurl. Maybe sometimes it came against them, but they just seem to be in a bit of a straitjacket at the minute. And I think Davy might have something to pull out of Rabbit. I think he will pull something out of
big shout here. I think he's gonna take one county in Munster down a peg or two anyway. I think they'll beat one county. I don't know who it's gonna be. You just have to hope it's not gonna be your county, but they're gonna get a win somewhere. Worried about playing them in the first day of the Munster now, to be totally honest.
Okay.
There's only 3,500 in that was mentioned on Sunday game, and they said, oh, they'll get more to Kilkenny one. Good one.
We won't get started in that, will we?
Right, the ref's whistle has gone, and it's time to head to the tunnel for the banana and the cup of tea at half time. Join us in the second half, where we'll be trawling through Clare and my darling Kilkenny, and we'll also have Galway Dublin, a fiery one there, it's fair to say. Welcome back to the second half of the GA Hour. Niall McIntyre hasn't run away from me yet, but by looks of it, he's thought about it anyway.
Lee's gone. Wonder will he return.
He was injured again.
Yeah.
Galway 123, Dublin 115, 11 yellows, 1 black card and 4 reds. But people were saying it was a tame game. Niall, what was your thoughts on this one?
It definitely wasn't a tame. Definitely wasn't a tame game. Where do you start, really? I suppose there's the 4 red cards. Henry was interviewed after. He said Jack Grealish was unlucky, he got 2 yellows, but he had no excuses for Conor Whelan or Dahi Burke. That was Conor Whelan's first ever red card. I actually had him on before the All-Ireland final last year, and I was bigging him up. I was like, Conor, how do you never... Because he never reacts.
It was madness what he did.
And he never does it. He would be getting all this punishment, as Henry said, because he's the star man, backs hanging out of him. He doesn't ever react, and yesterday he did. We all have our moments of madness. He had one yesterday. He had to go. He deserved to go. Dahi Burks was a bit of a wild one as well. Mm-hmm. So,
Jack Grealish's one, was the kind of one he went, that was
probably a bit harsh. And look, 11 yellows, a black as well. Johnny Murphy was reffing, and to be honest, I think Henry said he doesn't add to the flow of the game, and I'd agree with him in that sense that sometimes, and I thought he was improving because I've seen him in the past. I seen a tip in Cork game in the league in Semple Stadium Monday, and he blew. There was something like 40 frees in the game, but I thought he'd been improving and that he was letting it go a bit more. But look, Galway and Dublin, we've seen him in the Fenway Sevens. They've bet the heads off each other a good few times, and there's a bit of a rivalry there, definitely.
Shefflin on about protecting Conor Whelan. Do you think umpires need to do more in general? That they just stand back and let the action unfold, and if something happened in front of them, they won't say anything unless absolutely called upon by the referee?
Yeah, well, I suppose sometimes they do, and maybe that was what Neil McManus was saying in the Sunday game, that they don't. You can talk to them and they'll say, oh, we'll do something, but they don't do anything. I asked that question to Conor Whelan last year. It was like, do you think... Like, is it hard to keep the head? Like, can can referees sort of help you in that instance? And he kind of said that, you know, it's my job to put the ball over the bar and forget about all the other things. Look, sometimes umpires, the question asked me, sometimes umpires, they probably should be more, make a point if it is going on to bad levels, do you know?
Yeah.
But, Dublin, I think, will be disappointed. Like, they were against 12 men for a finish, and they were outscored 10 points to 1 in the last third quarter of the game, like, because they were right in it.
They were.
But it was a kind of a classic Dublin capitulation.
They get their man sent off and then...
Yeah, but like, Galway had 3 sent off and Dublin had 1 sent off, and they can't put a full game together. That's their problem at the minute. Owen O'Donnell's big loss at full back, but look, their whole season is Wexford, the very first round of Leinster in Wexford Park. If Dublin lose that,
the way they're both taking along, you have to fancy Wexford.
You'd have to fancy that game. Have to, yeah. So, Galway now have Limerick next week, and the winner is through to the league semi final. Galway missing Wheelo.
Do you even want to be in a semi final?
Well, it's funny.
I think you want to be in a semi, but not the final.
Yeah, probably. I was listening to Alan Connolly interviewed yesterday, and he was like, whether we get to a league semi-final, we don't really care. Like, that was like, they don't care. And isn't that sad too?
It is.
It makes a mockery of it. Like, teams just want to finish in fourth. Like,
yeah, there's no glory in National League titles. We're getting stuck for time, so we'll move on to Clare Kilkenny here. Clare 19 points. Clare 19 points, Kilkenny 16 points, sorry. Probably second biggest game of the weekend. Lone after 2 defeats in the last few All-Ireland semis to the Cats, I'm sure, was out for revenge in this one. Did the ref have a huge role to play in this game, supposedly being poor?
James Owens maybe gave a few borderline frees that you wouldn't blow for, but maybe I didn't notice. Clare were the better team, and David Fitzgerald was sensational.
I think there were 34 frees in this match, and then compared to the other action at the weekend, they were about around 20 to 25.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. And it didn't look to be an overly dirty game from what I could see. Clare, they probably needed to settle a score against Kilkenny. Kilkenny will say, you know, there's bigger games that they'll hope to get them in the championship. Dave Fitzgerald was sensational once again.
I think he is the best player in the country on form at the minute.
Isn't he? And he doesn't get the credit.
No.
He doesn't have the name like that.
I think it's unfortunate he's named Davey Fitzgerald weirdly. I think that's something to do with it as well.
Isn't he unstoppable when he gets a ball?
I think he'll could be the winning or losing if Clare go through Munster or not. I know Tony Kelly obviously has to come back, but I think this way this Clare team's taking along so much is going through Davey now.
Hugely, yeah, because he got 5 from play against Wexford as well. Another positive for Clare was the performance of Peter Duggan. He was unbelievable, and he's a player I'd love to have in Tip, and I'm sure you'd love to have him in Cork too. Just a big wrecking ball who can
supposed to be great crack as well.
Win ball, and yeah, he is. I interviewed him once or twice, and one of the best personalities I've interviewed actually. Hurling brilliant, catching the ball. Seeing the way he catches the ball in his right hand. And he like left hand is his natural hand to catch it in, but he played a bit of handball when he was younger. But that's Clare. Kilkenny, did you see Neil McManus was saying that they've trouble at centre back? Richie Reid was taken off at half time.
Yeah. And did you read much into that?
Mikey Carey went centre back then and was very good. I've been impressed with Richie Reid at centre back. Maybe he had a bad day.
I thought they were making more of a deal out of it than it needed to be.
Yesterday, yeah. I wouldn't give up on Richie Reid at centre back, definitely not, but one thing I would say is McManus was right. Mikey Carey was exceptional there yesterday, and could be an option there down the line. So yeah.
Foody double save onto the face guard, and then Owen Murphy pull off another great save. Is he the best goalkeeper in hurling?
Well, sure, it's him or Nicky Quaid, and I think Murphy probably the best shot stopper, even though Quaid is very rarely let down by shot stopping either.
To be fair, Quaid
probably has better. Better able to give short pokeouts, but I'd have them very close.
Lone showing his delight after the game. He wasn't too shy about it either. And then Ling, he was on about getting his championship 15. The Sunday game kind of made a big deal about that again, but That's surely what every county is doing anyway. It's like trimming the fat this time of year. You have to be settling on your 15.
Yeah.
Are you starting? How much are you starting 15? Are you starting in your last league game? Like,
I think you want to have them all. You want to have them.
But you're going to show your hand. Yeah, well, Leinster might not matter as much, but let's Munster. Yeah. Giving a lot away there.
Yeah. I suppose, like, if lads don't have injuries, or unless you want to rest a lad, I'd be playing them. Maybe you don't have to go all out with all the tactics and so on. You can hold a few bits back in that. But if lads are fit, unless there's someone you want to wrap in bubble wrap, like, I know you wouldn't like to see Patrick Horgan getting injured in the last round of the league.
There'll be tears.
So maybe someone like that.
Worse if he went out of championship. Why are you putting those thoughts in my head, man?
Yeah.
We're going to go now to everyone's favourite segment here on the GAA. It is the infamous player problems. Now, we asked you last week, what is the worst piece of GAA lingo? Niall, do you have any yourself now before we get into some of these?
There was funny when it was pointed out at the weekend. It was, why do commentators always say, that's a good looking shot, but it's going wide? Like,
I didn't even notice they do that.
It was said, I think it was Michael Verney had a tweet up saying that whenever it's a good looking shot by the commentator, it ends up going wide. That's a good looking shot, but it's tailing off to the right.
Just curl off the end there, yeah.
One I actually love is the TG Cahir one, the far more larger. They absolutely love that. A big, strong man.
We had some that came in. SG McCann comes in and says, using other sports terms like the quarterback or soccer style, and we were
whore
for the American terms the last, two episodes ago.
Yeah, but, he could be directing that right at us. Yeah. Unless I completely agree with you, SG McCann, you're dead right.
McAvoy _ Brian, Marty Morrissey saying, dropping in around the house.
Yeah, Marty loves that, doesn't he? I've nothing against that one, dropping in around the house.
I suppose as a commentator doing a song, you definitely have words and phrases you fall back on just time and time again.
Yeah, there was Jerk Hanning used to have one, back once again, and there was a thing made out of it. It was like a meme. It was like, back once again for the round. And it was just him saying it over and over again.
Paddy comes in and just says, Kerry. Richie Monaghan comes in and says, that's a hospital ball. That feels very old school.
Yeah, I like that one, yeah. That'd be one I'd say myself.
Would it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't hear the commentator saying that too often, though.
Someone got one yesterday. I think it was Peter Duggan got a hospital pass yesterday, but he dealt with it well, so yeah.
Benamon1 comes in and says, we'll dust ourselves down and get to the training pitch. Vomit emoji.
Yeah, that's a classic, isn't it? Like, it doesn't mean that. It's like managers trying to fill time in an interview.
Sure, they have the phrases they fall back on in every interview then as well. Like, what are they going to give away? Like,
semi-finals are there to be won. Actually, that's another one that's just a classic. Like,
oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, every game.
Say that about every game is there to be won.
Yeah.
Stuart Liss, I find it weird how yards and metres are used interchangeably. That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point, yeah.
Would you be more of a yards or metres man yourself?
I'd probably be a bit of both.
you're the person he's talking about, man.
Like, is 21-yard free, yeah? 65 yards. Is 65?
Oh, yeah, they switched up 21 metres out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be more of a metres man. It's very European too, like that. Yeah. Anna Henley, a lot of tired bodies out there. Cold face emoji.
That's a classic, in fairness, isn't it? Commentators love that one. Like,
Willie Neville goes, the phrase dirty ball, it drives me scatty. What was wrong with loose or breaking ball? More of a fan of the loose ball or breaking ball.
Well, sure, loose ball is the opposite.
You love dirty ball.
I don't know what way you're asking me this question here. Loose ball is the opposite of dirty ball, like, so. Loose ball is ball. You're some lads a loose hurler.
Get the right jocks, they stay right in place. Anthony Lynch goes, ratified. I hate that word.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know people going about mice and be like, oh, I hate that word. I think ratified is that version for me.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like it.
Like, it's always used as well, like, for someone's ratified.
But it's only been around the last, like, I think
10 years or something.
It hasn't been around that long anyway in GAA terms, especially it's getting used more and more as time goes on.
It's used for every manager appointment now.
Bishop Len Brennan, cheers Len, starts every sentence starting with look. I presume he means in interviews, is it like, look at the boys did whatever.
Look.
Yeah, look.
I do the same thing myself, like these things, and I say like to all them as well, like, Len, come on, like, give us a break.
EMCO101, handbags. Handbags. Is, yeah. I prefer, yeah. Schmozzles, Frexes, and Millies are much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. The old handbags. It's probably an old term or something like that. I think that concludes our player problems. Anyone you wanted to add, or any of them that were your favourite?
My favourite probably, which one are we going to go with? Ratfi. Just Ratfi. Take that out of the dictionary, please.
Is it even in it?
Probably not.
Right, the full-time whistle has gone. There's a few tired bodies in the studio here as well. Yeah. The refs played for the draw as usual. Thanks a million for joining us once more here on the GAA Hour. Be sure to retweet, repost any of our content, as it's so important to help us grow. Be sure to tell your friends about us as well. Throw us in the old club group chat. Plenty to look forward to next week, Niall. It's their turn of the big ball. Well, unfortunately, in a way. But including Galway versus Dublin, Tyrone Monaghan, Roscommon Kerry and Mayo Derry. And in the small ball, it's Limerick Galway, Waterford Kilkenny and Wexford Cork. Any clashes there sticking out for you that you're really looking forward to?
Wexford Cork. The hurling probably won't be huge because we know what's happening, but definitely looking forward all to all the football ones.
Galway was feisty in the hurling. I think Galway Dublin football might be
a nice double header actually with Galway and Limerick in Salt Hill, so that'd be a huge one.
Yeah,
that'd be brilliant, and we might get our buddy Lee back as well. Maybe he was running scared this week as the hurling, so
he might be back. He might come back to visit us, or else he just doesn't like me, but fair enough. Niall, it's been a pleasure. Chat to you all next week.
Sports Joe presents the GAA Hour.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.